You need to start recording.
Sherry, do you want me to send everybody the Article 23?
Yeah, okay, you can do that. Let's see.
We're recording.
Okay. Are we recording? Okay. Hang on just a second here. Okay, it is August 26, 2020. And this is the BOT bargaining team meeting with the UFF bargaining team in collective bargaining. And I assume everyone got the minutes, so can we take a quick look at those and see if there's anything, any changes or corrections that need to be made?
Mm-hmm. I'll look right now. Okay, it looks fine with me. And I think those were who came last time. Kevin, Annabelle, Fawn, and Marie. Yes.
Okay.
Marie, can you see it? Does it look okay to you? Yes, okay. Okay, good. You're muted, but...
Just realized that. Yes, it's okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so we're good with the minutes.
Okay, well, I thought we would start with the Article 23 because I suspect there's not a lot to say about it from our side of the table. I have had conversations with everybody up and down the line in my chain of command, and I am not authorized to put any money for anything on the table. So we don't have money for promotions or for across the board or stipend increases. So. That's the bad news. I suppose the good news is we're not taking anything out, which at this point we hope we can adhere to. And this is pretty much the same proposal we had before. I think we took out, Chuck had some language he added in there about to be eligible for the professional advising award.
Mm-hmm.
You have at least some portion of that, of your assignment be attributed to that, and we took that out. Let's see, we at the end, at the compensation, down at the very last thing, we added that we will comply with all applicable federal and state labor and employment laws, which would include, of course, things like the Equal Pay Act and Title VII and pretty much anything else you can think of, so that we would normally put in there. I'm trying to think, is there anything else, my team, that we made a change to from our last proposal? I don't think there is much, sad to say.
Yeah, Sherry, I think that's it.
Yeah. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's bad news for everybody.
Okay, so could you email me the proposal?
Yeah, I think Charlie may have just done that, but if she hasn't, I will do it right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you check your email, please, Ivana?
Okay. Oh, and you have your retainer in, so.
I whooped it out there. You know what? I sent it to everybody. Brannis did. My mistake. I realize it's not going to your personal emails. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay.
Let me. Oh, Ivana. Okay. Ivana Pineda@gmail.com.
Ivana Y Pineda at
gmail. Yeah, I just want to make sure that was the right one. And then Kevin R Coffee at gmail. Annabelle 9, got you. Fawn.
FLG.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. Okay. I was just looking at it going, oh, that sounds really serene. Marie, Leticia, Lady Zook, got you. Oh, she already did send it to those people, though, I think. All right. So she already sent it to Pine Bluff, to Annabelle, to Lady Zook, and to Kevin Coffey. It was just you, Ivana. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Perfect.
It's on its way to you. So.
Okay. So I guess we're going to go into a brief caucus.
Okay.
If that's good with you.
So
Marie, Fawn, Beatrice, Nina, Kevin, and Robert, I think I sent you all the, what do you call it, the caucus room link, so we can meet there. Lisa Danker just texted me saying that she's going to come. So if she shows up and you guys are here, just send her over to the caucus room.
I'm just sending her a copy of the minutes.
Okay.
All right, and the other document, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Right. Okay, so we spoke. We had our caucus. It looks like we're not going to be able to close today. And we wanted to have another date for 2 weeks.
I think we scheduled that, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, I think we already have one.
Oh, do we do?
Brianna sent you a list of dates.
Yes, she did. I'm looking at it right now.
And I want to say it's the 16th.
September 16th, yes.
Okay.
But I did want to cover those other things on the list. And I think, so we'll come back on the 16th and stuff to continue discussing Article 23. I did have a question about, where are we with the MOU on systemic racism?
Excuse me, just one second, Yvonne, for the timing, I think you do need to respond to Brianna because she has hold on our calendars, but I don't know if she's extended the invitation to you yet, so I just want to make sure that you just let her know that they're okay, and then we'll go forward. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Sorry to do that. Now, back to systemic racism. That's fine.
Okay.
I can give you a little bit of an update on that. There were five people that I sent a draft to for comment, and I've heard back from three of those. I have an appointment on Friday with a fourth, and I've got one more to get in touch with.
Okay.
So we're making some progress on our side, and I apologize it's taken so long, but it's just that time of the year.
Okay. All right. And just for open, for transparency, you might have heard already that our team met with the chief diversity officer, Kent.
Yeah,
so we met with him just to discuss this. And some of the things that really interested him were, for instance, the having a diversity officer in every department. But Chuck, when you talk to him, you'll probably hear that from him.
I don't know if this is something that is done, but Chuck, you mentioned that you are talking to some other people. Do we know these people and their expertise, in that field? Okay. Can you give us an idea, or is it something that is allowed? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, I don't mind. One of them is the provost, vice provost. The director of OIE, Nancy Myers.
Okay.
I'll meet with Dr. Butler next, and then there was someone at the UCF Foundation that I had contacted, also, and I had not been in touch with that person yet.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you. And I did notice, I always keep up with the policy. I see the emails. And it's funny because, like, I've been now doing this for a while, Sherry, so I can tell when it's like Sarah's and your writing in the contract language. So, so I'm like, it reads so well. I'm like, oh, it reads like when I'm talking to them. So the grievance policy, at least what I read online, said it covers all employees. So is there anything right now that would affect us? Because that's not the same language as that's in our CBA.
Well, we are going to have to make some changes in the CBA to reflect what is required under Title IX. Sarah and I have talked to some about how that would work. Right now, and Sarah, if I say something wrong, chop me off, because she's the head guru on Title IX. But we already have a bifurcated process for allegations of discrimination in the grievance process. They go to OIE first.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will continue with the new Title IX regs. So, we don't really have any choice under the new regulations. If OIE determines that this is the Title IX violation has occurred, then it has to go through this whole hearing process with cross-examination and all of these other things. And also there's a right of appeal on very limited grounds under Title IX. I think our thinking at the moment is that we would go through the Title IX process first, and then if the person, let's say it's a faculty member who is accused of whatever and they're found, let's say they're found guilty and some kind of discipline is proposed by the Title IX hearing officer, then the faculty member would then have the ability to grieve that under the normal grievance process. So it is kind of like, actually, I think you're going to be getting,
I would say it's an extra layer because you would have a right to appeal the Title IX through the Title IX process and then still come back and go through our normal grievance procedures as to grieving a sanction.
Yeah, so you're getting two bites of the apple in a way on Title IX.
Okay.
I mean, that's the best we've come up with so far. It's a mess. If you've read anything about that regulation.
Yeah. And our only, the thing that was kind of getting us through the summer, at least thinking about it, is that the way they define Title IX sexual harassment, it's actually, for purposes of this new live hearing requirement, very narrowly. It's only quid pro quo harassment, Cleary-type crimes, and severe and pervasive sexual harassment. Now, some of you may know that under Title VII, which is our general kind of employment laws, it's forbidden to engage in sexual harassment that is severe or pervasive. So here, Title IX has taken a new definition and requires it to be both. So we were just trying to think about the last few years, how many complaints we've had involving faculty that would rise to the level of this new definition of Title IX sexual harassment, very few. So the vast majority of claims will be processed just the same as normal. There's maybe one or two cases every few years that might have to go through this full Title IX process and then have the live hearing, exhaust the Title IX appeal, but then you don't lose your grievance right on the back end. We'll be sending it back through that. So it'll be a very lengthy process, but we were trying to, you know, think about obviously maintaining the grievance right and providing the full Title IX appeal. It was very difficult to think of a way to combine those, so we're stacking them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying that. And then, yes, I guess we'll be opening that one soon enough.
Yeah.
And then the other question was, and this comes from actually more than one member, about if there's some people are feeling real fear for a variety of different reasons, and if they report to a supervisor and the supervisor's like, don't bother me, go call the police, and, you know, if it's something union related, sometimes I get called. So is there a process that you can make that supervisor actually reprimand the employee that's being complained against?
Well, complained against how? There are a lot of different ways of being complained against. So
let's say, I don't want to call them the victim, but I just want to say, let's say the person who is doing the complaining is saying, this person in my department is harassing me, or I just don't want to be near them. They switch off what is that called? They switch in knees like some sort of PTSD, or they're having triggers. I don't know if we have like trigger language, but anyway, so they're having triggers in me because I, you know, the stress from that I'm already suffering. And on top of this person is harassing me in some way, not harassing like sexual harassment, but more like teasing or bothering, or they just don't want to hear from that person because it's just a constant trigger. And so they tell their supervisor, and then this is the part I was told, they were then told to call the police. And the police, when they get enough complaints, they want to know, and I had a conversation today with the police officer, they want to know why the chairs or the supervisor or somebody would say that, because we don't have a process. I guess the UCF police is not as aware of our process.
Well, that sounds like an HR issue to me, not a police issue.
Yeah. I mean, unless the person is saying that they are threatening them in some way, you know, telling them that they're going to, I don't know, you know.
Cause some bodily harm.
Yeah, I'm going to blow your head off if you or something like that, or, yeah, threaten bodily harm or something. I mean, otherwise, I can't imagine why you would go to police. That seems
I can't imagine a chair saying it, though, when they get so frustrated about someone complaining about someone over and over again. There's really, it's an interpersonal discomfort. There's not much a chair can do to resolve that.
But you wouldn't send somebody to police normally. I mean, I have to... Yeah,
I guess it depends on how stringent the person is demanding action.
And these are stringent. So I think they're demanding action, yes.
I know just from other employee issues I've seen and not on the faculty side, but if PD receives something like that, they usually counsel the complainant that this is a civil matter and not a criminal matter. And so mm-hmm. they ask them to go to HR. I think that they can... process, like if someone doesn't know where to go, there's still an option. But if someone's repeatedly making, you know, like going to police to complain about their supervisor, and it's not them, you know, getting attacked physically, or if it's not an actual mm-hmm. criminal matter, that needs to be addressed and sent back through HR. And if it's based on a protected class, that would go to OIE. But if it's just general kind of bullying, needling, people not getting along, that's an HR issue.
Do you know who I contact in HR for that? So I have as a resource to give to others.
Are you talking about faculty, though?
Faculty, yes.
So HR will bounce it.
They'll send it straight to us, yeah.
Okay, that's
you know who to call.
All right, so that's where the Detective Marine was saying. He's like, why do people keep coming to me? Like, he's like, this morning. It's like, this is a civil matter. And so it keeps going, bouncing back to him, because whoever's saying, I think that's what happens. The faculty person calls the HR. They get no response. It's not really an OIE issue. And since the chair or the provost or vice provost or whoever might be, or a dean doesn't want to deal with it, you know, they say call the police.
I mean, I don't know if it doesn't want to deal with it or isn't able to do something to the person's satisfaction. And that is usually the case. But certainly it could be looked at.
Yeah. Unfortunately, perhaps because our office exists, which our office, a CCAS type office does not exist, to my knowledge, anywhere else in the system. So typically faculty would have to go to the HR, but because we exist, HR is like, no, I'm not touching faculty. Send them to us. So you're kind of stuck with us, but we'll do our best.
Okay.
I don't know that I can talk to individual faculty though, Sherry, really. So that's
yeah, but you can talk to the supervisors. That's the thing. And we can work with HR.
I can talk to Yvonne. I'm comfortable talking to Ivana about a situation. That's easy. I can do that. You can't send individual faculty to me for relief. Like, I don't like how Joe is mean to me, and Mary says, I don't like how Joe is mean to me. I'm not going to be able to do anything about that. That's faculty on faculty problem. So,
But you could talk to Ivana, and we could perhaps send them to some other resources in the university if we needed to. I mean, there are other places.
Perhaps.
Okay. Actually, we should probably have that conversation at some point, because I also get, I get everything too. Lately I've been getting everything. I guess when the HR doesn't work, OIE doesn't work, the police doesn't work, and that's what Detective Marine and I were talking about this morning, then they come to me. And then he and I are talking, and he's like, what about HR? And I was like, I'm not sure. Because these aren't exactly like integrity line sort of issues, but they are important. And there's a conversation that we need to have soon.
Okay. HR really should deal with individual faculty. I mean, that is their job, but.
I just predict it'll get bounced. That's what, you know, that's what I'm thinking about. And they might send them to faculty excellence. It depends on the problem.
Okay.
But we may have to have a conversation with you, and then maybe some conversations with HR too.
Yeah, I think so too. And that was part of also like why I wanted to, I know COVID messed it all up, but I was going to have conversations with HR as well regarding that. Because the other SUS, when I tell them the situation, they say the same thing. They're like, why don't you just talk to your HR? And I said, we have Charlie Piper, one person and all 1,700 people, which is, you know, it's not, you know, it is something that HR should be taking care of. But anyway, but we need to have that conversation, I hope, soon.
Yeah, and Yovana, you're right that there is a subset of bad behavior that isn't always addressed by, for example, our employment laws, but it is something that needs to be addressed by a supervisor. And sometimes mm-hmm. we can just be helpful getting the supervisor reengaged, because I think sometimes they can just feel lost or not know what their options are. And that's something our office can do.
Reengaged is such a nice word.
Yeah, exactly.
But let me just say again that I'm happy to talk to you or to Nina, for instance, the grievance rep. I think that's a perfectly reasonable person for me to talk to and sort of explore. Sometimes you get someone who makes complaints, Yovana, and then I come back with, oh, you may not have known, bop, 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 and that may change how you feel about the situation. So mm-hmm. sometimes that they don't give you necessarily the full story. I know that's shocking, but sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I can help fill in some gaps just for that part. I feel very comfortable talking to you guys.
Okay. All right. Good. So yeah, we'll set up that appointment maybe right now. Would you like to set it up with Nina, me, Robert, and Beatrice? And whoever, everybody on the team can come.
You can just send something to Brianna. She can okay. Set us up with a fun time.
Okay.
Who's bringing the popcorn?
Yeah, I mean, it's just when I was talking to the police officer, I mean, it got to the point where we were both agreeing that there's a lot of tension right now, and he's very concerned about active shooter. So, I mean, he's just concerned because of the complaints he's getting, and then the things I'm hearing as well is also, some of the stuff is a little bit on the shocking side. So that's, I want to make sure that we cover everything before anything gets really bad.
All right, well, I'll give it my best swing.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'll see all of you on September 16th. And Chuck, if you have something before that, we're open to meeting again sooner than September 16th for the MOU on systemic racism.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.